Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Burke Allen. Thanks for listening to WAMS Radio, a very special show about my home state of West Virginia. For the first time in more than a decade, 15 years to be exact, Bishop T.D. Jakes is returning home. He's also from West Virginia, from the Charleston area, for a three-day conference at the Charleston Civic Center called The Birthing Place. T.D. Jakes has twice been featured on the cover of Time magazine as America's Best Preacher. You may have seen him on the Dr. Phil show where they share the same hairstyle. T.D., it's great to have you on with us today. How you doing?
Oh, it's great to be with you. I'm doing fine.
Now, 15 years to come home. Tell me about that. Why so long?
Well, you know, I was kind of busy settling into Dallas. Things were exploding, and I was learning how to pastor a church on a level that I had never seen a church. And just learning how to manage my life, which had taken on so many different dimensions. But I think now's a good time for me to come home. In the middle of a recession, it's in one way a gift to the people of West Virginia from an economic perspective and hopefully from a spiritual perspective, not so much because I'm there, but I've brought some great preachers and singers, and I mean the Clark Singers and Israel Houghton and people like that that are going to come along with me, with Bishop Jones and others, to share their faith. I think this is a time that we need to be rejuvenated spiritually.
This is all happening at the Charleston Civic Center. And for folks that aren't familiar, Bishop Jakes, with you, I mean, you talk about being busy. One of the questions I was going to have is for your time management tips, because you are a guy who has written now, if I have my count correct, about 30 books, several New York Times bestsellers.
Yes.
You did movies. You produced movies. There's even talk that you might host a CBS talk show. You're always on Dr. Phil. Well, you know, what is your secret in getting it all done every day?
Well, I'm a multitasker. I never get it all done every day, and I'm comfortable with going to bed knowing that I didn't get everything finished. But the way that I can maximize the things that I do get finished is little things. You know, like if I'm flying on an airplane, I'm generally writing on a book that I'm working on. Tying things to other things so that you can get them done helps a lot. And then surrounding myself with good quality staff people who helped to facilitate many things for me and provide the information that I need to make the appropriate choices has been a lifesaver. You are no better than the team you're with. And so surrounding yourself with very bright people and very gifted people has really sustained me.
Bishop T.D. Jakes is our guest today, and he's the pastor of a mega church in anyone's estimation, 30,000 people in your congregation. And T.D., you and I were talking before we went on the air. We're both Southern West Virginia guys. I grew up in Logan County, West Virginia. There weren't 30,000 people in that entire county, and you got 30,000 people in your church. You know, being a West Virginia guy, do you ever just pinch yourself and say, you know, my God, how did this happen for me and with me?
Yes, it's unbelievable because it's something that I really sought out to do. You know, you just try to be effective as you can to help as many people as you can, and then people go wherever they want to go and listen at whoever they want to listen at. And so I was hoping that, you know, that I would be effective. I've never set out to be famous. And so that's something you have to manage. But every day I pray, Lord, make me effective, that I can really make a difference.
Hey, what's the hardest part of you've talked about being famous now, and it wasn't what you set out to do. You know, you started with a little storefront church there in Montgomery, close to the college. But now, you know, you're on national television. For crying out loud, you were at the presidential inauguration doing the prayer breakfast. So you're in, as we say back here in West Virginia, some pretty high cotton. What's the hardest part of adjusting to all that?
Well, you know, it was interesting because on one hand, I've had an opportunity to speak in the ear of our presidents for the last two or three administrations. I've had opportunities to listen and to pray with people who were facing crisis and calamities. I've learned a lot. I've grown a lot. I'm not at all the same person that I was 14 years ago. I just came back from the Ukraine, got to go to Australia. Those were gifts to me that will never be taken away. It's not so much the tangible things, it's the intangible memories of learning from every place I've ever gone and everybody I've ever met.
Bishop T.D. Jakes is our guest today, and we're talking about this huge event this weekend at the Charleston Civic Center, August 13th, 14th, and 15th. featuring Bishop Jakes and some Grammy Award winners like the New Breed and the legendary gospel group, the Clark Sisters, will be there. Let's go back in time, though, because you are in West Virginia. This is home for you. And I know, as a guy who's about your age, that, you know, growing up in southern West Virginia as an African-American kid was probably not easy.
No, it wasn't. It was a little bit better for me than it was for my brother. He was the first generation of people to go through integration, and he really took a beating, and we kind of were a little bit downwind from that. I'm 52 now, but we certainly, between my brother, sister, and I, have some horror stories to tell. But in the midst of all of the adversities that existed in West Virginia where race was concerned, there were also some wonderful people in West Virginia. I mean, the first multicultural church I pastored was here. It ended up 35% of my congregation was Caucasian, and we even had a few Indian people, Eastern Indian, that belonged to our church as well. So we've made some groundbreaking strides. I know that there's much left to be done. Every generation will have to fight a different kind of fight in a new kind of way. But I'm hoping, particularly of late, that America is coming out of the closet and talking a little bit more transparently about her racial ills. And you can't heal what you won't reveal.
Hey, now somebody told me, Bishop Jakes, that you are buddies with Skip Gates, Henry Louis Gates, who was involved in this big incident that happened in Cambridge with the Cambridge police officer, and it, you know, culminated in the beer summit in the White House garden. Is that right? First of all, do you know him? And then what's your take on that whole thing?
Yes, I do know Henry Louis Gates very well. He's a fine guy, and I can understand people who are learning of him through this incident would think certain things. But anytime you meet somebody through a news article, you really don't have a good picture of who they are. He's a fine person. He's a very intelligent, intellectual person. Incidentally, he's a fellow West Virginian. He was raised in West Virginia also. And he's a physically challenged individual who happened to be a person of color, who's in his own home, physically challenged, and challenged by the police. Had that been anybody else, you would have said, excuse me, Mr. Rockefeller, excuse me, Mr. Bush, I apologize, I made a mistake, and walk away. You're on my property. You're in my house. What is there to talk about? You know, you apologize, but I own the house. And it's amazing to me that America seems to be on the fence about it when everybody who's listening to us sitting in their house doesn't want to be harassed in any way. The moment you say, I own this house and can prove it, The debate is over. This guy's physically challenged. He's not a threat. And he's a very, very good person. So, you know, I think it shows to us that there are still areas and mountains to climb and streams that we must ford in order to be the nation that we say that we are.
Bishop T.D. Jakes is our guest today, and he is home in West Virginia this weekend for a huge event at the Charleston Civic Center. Thousands and thousands of folks will be there. That's nothing new for you, T.D., but, you know, when you started in West Virginia, your first church in Montgomery, how many people were there on Sunday number one? Come on,
well,
now, give it up.
As the service progressed, I think we might have hit a high number of about 10.
Woohoo!
Yeah, that was a really big number when we got to 10, and I was very happy about having 10 people there, and probably as happy as I am about the crowds that we're gathering here in Charleston now. And I think that really brings to focus that you can enjoy every stage of life. The fact that I am from West Virginia and I started with 10 people gives me balance today as I deal with the challenges of 30,000 members. I've lived life a lot of different kinds of ways, and I've learned how to be happy regardless of what state I'm in, and I think that's a good thing.
You know, one of the great things about growing up in West Virginia, I think, is that grounding and the great morals and ethics that you're brought up with, especially if you, like I, you know, had a humble beginning. And I understand your dad was a janitor. Is that right?
That's absolutely right. My father really was more of a businessman. He ran a janitorial service.
Okay,
but he started in specifically as a janitor with a mop and a bucket and ended up with 52 employees back in the 60s. And it was his core values, along with my mother, who was an educator, that taught us that hard work and tenacity would land you on your feet. And I still believe that. And I still try to instill that into my own children. it's a little tougher message today because they didn't have the benefit of the struggles that I grew up with, but it's still something that I still fervently believe.
Now, is it true that you were still, when you started that church in Montgomery with 10 folks on that first Sunday, you were still digging ditches to put food on the table?
Absolutely. I had been laid off by Union Carbide. I had run out of unemployment. I was down to nothing. I was collecting food stamps even for a while. I was digging ditches and cutting people's grass. My hands were bloody and blistered, just about diapers for my boys. But I'm not ashamed of any of that because all of that speaks to the tough, tenacious attitude that I think that we need back in this country today. I think we need people who will work themselves up and work themselves out and move ahead in their life. And that's why I can go anywhere. I literally have been on death row ministering to people. I've been in prisons ministering to people. I can relate to anybody. It doesn't have to be bougie, successful intellectuals, though I can talk to them too. I'm comfortable talking with all people because I've lived my life on so many different planes.
It's a good thing that you don't have to talk to intellectuals or we'd have never gotten you on this radio program. Bishop T.D. Jakes is our guest today, and he's been called by Time Magazine America's Best Preacher. Now, when you read that and you see that on the cover of Time Magazine, do you think you're America's best preacher? I mean, we're talking about an awful lot of really, really powerful ministers out there.
You know, when I read that, I realize that headlines are developed by people who want to sell magazines. And while I appreciate the compliment, I understand the realities of doing business. When it really comes down to a good theological understanding of what is a best preacher, the best sermon I ever heard was the one I needed the most. You know, I'm not sure that we can say as men what is good, better, and best. God will say that in the judgment. In the meantime, I'm going to try to do the best job I can with the skill sets that I have. But I never run against other people, not Billy Graham, not anybody else. I'm just preaching against the call that he placed on my life and not against any other individual.
Bishop T.D. Jakes is our guest this morning, and he's in West Virginia for a huge event this weekend at the Civic Center, the 13th, 14th, and 15th. Lots of guest speakers, lots of Grammy Award-winning music. And something you're doing, I think, is very interesting. You're doing something called a Small Beginnings Tour, where I guess you have shuttle buses, and you're going to take folks around to the place that sort of birthed your ministry. Tell me about that Small Beginnings Tour.
Well, you know, I think it's a very good thing because a lot of people, even those that some that are in other parts of West Virginia, only came to know of me when I showed up on television. And they missed 20 years of my ministry that preceded it. And when you come in at the end of the movie, you can jump to conclusions because you didn't know how it started.
Yep.
And so you'll have a lot of misconceptions. Taking people back to the beginning and say, you know, I spent 10 years over here. You know, that woman, Arluth, was birthed in a church that didn't seat 200 people and ended up with 86,000 women in the Georgia Dome. It helps to balance people, not only in an understanding of me, but far more importantly, in an understanding of where they may be right now, that it doesn't matter where you start. It matters where you finish, and not to give up on your dreams just because you have to start them in a very meager fashion.
Bishop T.D. Jakes is joining us this morning. He's in West Virginia this weekend for this massive conference at the Civic Center. And before you left, you know, Montgomery and then moved on to your church there in Charleston, how many folks were attending those services at your final church in Cross Lanes?
Oh, I would say about 500 to 600 per Sunday.
Okay, so you've got, by any stretch of the imagination, a wonderful ministry there in West Virginia, not a very populous state. That's a lot of folks going to church. And you walked away from that and started this new church plant in Dallas. Take me back to that time and what's going on in your head. And did your wife think you were nuts?
You know, she didn't think I was nuts. It's amazing that she didn't. She's always trusted my instincts, and she knew that I didn't move easily. I had never moved before. I was born in West Virginia. I didn't leave until I was 38, so I had a pretty good track record for being stable. And she knew that I would not risk our family and our stability and all that we had. I moved her mother, my brother and my sister and all that we had to a place that we'd never been. But it was scary. I'll be honest with you. It was very, very scary. I didn't know what I would face, and I didn't expect to face what I did in terms of the response that I got. I really expected to have to go there and start from absolutely nothing and scratch with 7 or 10 people again and pull myself up. But I ran into a different kind of struggle, the struggle of having 1,500 people during the first Sunday, which doesn't sound like a struggle, but it is a different kind of struggle. And I think God allows us to have different kinds of struggles so that we will strengthen ourselves, much like a strength trainer focuses on areas that are deficient that you can grow thereby.
Bishop T.D. Jakes is asked to comment on a variety of issues. You see him on television a lot. As a matter of fact, Bishop Jakes, I heard that there may actually be a daily talk show with you on CBS TV. Is that still in the works? Is that a possibility?
That's still a possibility. We don't have a lot of information on it because it's still being tossed around from desk to desk, but that's still a possibility, and I haven't totally signed off on it either, but it's still a possibility.
Bishop T.D. Jakes has been our guest today on WAMS Radio. His Birthing Place Conference happening in Charleston, West Virginia, August 13th, 14th, and 15th. And if you'd like more information, log on to tdjakes.com. T.D., great talking with you. Welcome home, buddy.
I enjoyed it. Have a good one, my brother.